Blog Talk Radio.
The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen, amen, amen. This is Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'd like to welcome you to the program, gentlemen. If you received this link for this program on your text or on your phone, or if you saw it posted on our Facebook page, it's just Christian Men's Talk. I thank you for taking the opportunity to share this discussion tonight that we're going to be having. Again, if you received the link on your phone, I encourage you to share it with the brothers that you may be discipling, those in your circle of influence, and those who you may be ministering and evangelizing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to talk about men serving in the local church, where and how they are needed. I have a couple of brothers invited to come on today, and we're going to share some insights and just encourage you, no matter where you are in the faith, if you've been saved 50 years, 5 years, or 2 months ago. There's a purpose, there's a plan that God has for your life. And in the local church, we need men. We need godly men. We need obedient men. We need sacrificial men. We need men who are going to submit to the Holy Spirit, submit to leadership, and build and make the church what it's called to be. And we need men in that role and in their position. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to go over with prayer. We're going to get right into conversation. Brothers, I see everyone's on the switchboard here, so we're ready to go. We're going to go, well, let me pray first. Amen. Father God, first of all, we just say thank you, God. We thank you, God, for all that you've done in our lives, God. Father, we thank you, God. We come to you with hearts of gratitude to your throne of grace right now, God, not forgetting that you are in control, that you are sovereign, Lord, and you're God of all things, Lord God, so nothing happens. Nothing happens in our lives, in this world, in this culture, that you do not know that you not do not have control over, Lord God. You are not surprised by anything that happens. So, Father, we thank you right now. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in the lives of these men who are participating tonight, for their families, their wives, their children, their grandchildren, Lord God. We ask you to continue to bless them and watch over them and guide them and direct them. Father, we pray for the church as a whole, Lord God. We pray for the elders, deacons, and leaders, God, those who are laboring, Lord God, to minister to your people, evangelize your people, disciple your people, God. Father, we pray for those who work behind the scenes, God, that just make things happen. As you know, ministry is not always in the front. There's things going on in the back that people never see. So we pray for their steadfastness and continued motivation and dedication. Father, we pray right now, God. We pray for the drug addict, the alcoholic, oh God. We pray for those who are in nursing homes, God. We pray for those in jails today, oh God, that, God, something will be said. Someone, one of your ambassadors will speak life into their situation, oh God. We're praying for families, oh God, who may be at a bedside watching over their loved ones, oh God, that you would comfort them, oh God. Even the midst of their suffering, their sorrow, oh God, even the midst of sickness, God, we know that you are still God. But, Father, whatever your will is, God, we ask that you will comfort the families right now, Lord God. Continue, oh God, to watch over your people, over your church, oh God. We're asking, oh God, all this in Jesus' name. And we say thank you, and we say amen, amen, and amen. Well, amen, brothers. Well, again, we're doing a couple of programs, episodes here, Vicious Christian Men's Talk, and our format, we're doing, I'm recording it, pre-recorded, and we're sending it out on text. You can always go to Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. You'll see the link for all of our new episodes that are downloaded there. The links are sent out. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and listen to the archive of all of our past and previous episodes and programs we've been doing for about 5 years now. So, and we've got a lot of topics and a lot of things there. Hopefully we'll encourage someone, continue to press in, that we always say for brothers, men, husbands, and fathers and sons, we have more in common than we are different. And we just want to encourage the brother in here to be able to continue to press into the things of God, those men in the church. And even for those that we're praying who are on the fringe, outside the church, because the saved men and the unsaved men, we go through the same struggles. Just that us as men of God, as I always say, we come with a different perspective, and we know that God is in control, and we try not to fret over. We just wait on God. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to bring in a couple of my guests here, and they're going to give a short introduction to themselves, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. Because tonight we want to talk about and encourage you and talk about men serving in the local church, where and how they are needed. I always say here at Issues Christian Men's Talk for the brothers, man, do encourage them. If you're part of a local body, if you're called, you know, your membership in the church, it's all volunteer. I mean, it's like anything else. It's all volunteer army, or you're a soldier for Christ. But in the midst of that, we have responsibilities and we have commitments, and it should be expectations of each of us as men of God, as we give our life to Christ, that we might be served. Because, again, the Bible says we are saved unto good works. And those works are done within the body. Amen? Amen. So tonight, we're going to begin the conversation right there. If you are on the line and you want to be part of the program, just press 1 on your keypad and we can bring you in. If you have a question, statement, or you want to share your insights, just press 1 on your keypad. Let's start with Pastor Reverend Davis. How are you? Good evening, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing wonderful, sir. Doing wonderful. Thank you again for taking time out and joining us tonight. Give us your short bio, who you are, and I know who you are, but just introduce yourself to the audience.
Yeah, I used to be the pastor of Church of Hope and Ministry of Hope in Baltimore City. Used to feed, clothe, and house 350 people every day. I had 5 homeless shelters with drug treatment programs, men's shelters, family shelters, women's shelters. Used to have round robin every morning with 50 men in a circle, and we would talk. I would get the men to talk about their feelings. And so this question is very important, because what I found was that while doing Foxhole Ministry, a lot of church members didn't want to be on frontline ministry. They'd rather go to Africa and do outreach in foreign countries than to do outreach and evangelize the inner cities such as Baltimore, D.C., and the surrounding communities. So you talk about local church, you're talking about a local environment. And men are suffering inside and outside the church. And where they are needed everywhere, especially in the family structure, as fathers and as men. And so one of the places where we need godly spiritual leadership is within the local church and branching out into the community, the local community. The local church has to impact the community instead of the community impacting the local church, as I've been witnessing it taking occurrence a lot of different times in a lot of different areas. A lot of the churches have men's ministry, but they don't have a ministry to the men.
Amen, amen. Hold on, Pastor Davis. You threw a whole lot, but we're gonna come back. We got it. I want to bring some other brothers in real quick. Pastor Frederick, how are you, sir? How are you?
Good evening. Amen. I am doing well, digging far.
Amen. Well,
yes,
go ahead, sir.
So my name is Elder Frederick Williams. I am in leadership at Shekinah Worship Center here in York, Pennsylvania. Been in church all my life, served in various capacities of the ministry, to include leading a men's ministry group, both at my former and present local church. I am a father of three, a husband of 19 years, been in the ministry for over 25 years. I love the Lord with all my heart, and it is a pleasure to be on this platform tonight. I am excited about this topic, because certainly men are needed in the body of Christ, especially the local church.
Amen, sir. Amen. I appreciate you, man. We're going to come right back to you in a minute here. I got one more brother I want to come in. Brother Purcell, Derek Purcell, how are you, sir? Can you hear me? Deacon, brother.
Yes, sir. No problem. Deacon Derek Purcell, Mount Zion Baptist Church, co-founder We Still Do, and founder Mary Men Making a Difference, and I'm a servant of the Lord. I love to fellowship with my brothers.
Amen, amen. All right, gentlemen, well, there's four of us here, but I want to, again, Pastor Davis started us off. He, you know, Pastor Davis, he's old school. He just went in. But I met Pastor Davis when I first got saved, and his men's ministry down there in Baltimore City was one of the ones I connected with and fellowshiped and learned a lot there. And I remember his outreach and the shelter and some other things. And I say this about Pastor Davis. He was my very first speaker in my very first men's ministry group. For those who know me, I've been you know, striving and had a passion for men's ministry. And he was my very first speaker back in those days when I was with Pastor Nolan Henson at New Life Church, and he came and did one of our men's events in the gym at the rec center at the Boys and Girls Club. So that's how I remember that brother. But anyway, we're gonna move forward, and I always appreciate him for that too. I don't want to not forget how you all got in the beginning. How about that? Amen. But let me go around the table. I'll start with you, Pastor Frederick. When we talk about men serving in the local church, and I think a lot of it is we have to start with, are we in our discipling, our mentoring, or even bringing men into the faith? Is it that we are not, because sometimes we have to remember, people grow up the way they were raised. When we bring in people, men, into the church, no matter if they're not their physical age, but their spiritual age, are we training them in the beginning to understand that there's a work to be done in Christ? It's just not getting saved, and now you're good, and there's nothing else required of you. What do you say, Pastor Frederick?
I would say present day. I would say more of some of the ministries that I've been involved with have now changed the trajectory of how we embrace men. In my younger day, I would say that we had to get saved first before we can work for the Lord. And nowadays we want people that come, especially men that come into the household of faith, to recognize that there is a need for them, one, that Christ loved them, and especially there is a work to be done in the church for the building of the kingdom that we may extend our reach. So, yes, I would say in some churches, yes, we're doing that. In others, I don't know if we've totally embraced the fact that those men, especially men, when we get them and they come to the house of prayer, that we can get them to do some sort of work because, you know, statistics say that men are willing, churches only have about 39% of men, and the other 61% is women. And in some churches, it's even worse than that. It may be a 15% men and 85% women. So hands down, we need the men in the church, not just to be workers, but there's work to be done, but also to be present, to show themselves as a leader in their home, as a leader in their community. And more importantly for me, being in the workforce, sometimes it's being a leader on the job, and those that are in church, being able to be that leader outside of church. So the question that I would say is, more importantly, are those men in church leading well enough outside the church that others will follow us to church?
Amen, amen. Reverend Davis, let me ask you this. You know, when we talk about that, Eddie, because I've known the work that you've done on hands-on, you're dealing with a lot of brothers that come from a broken place. But how would you say, in your experience, that we get the brothers who did a lot of things before Christ, but seem like when they come to Christ, they don't get no traction. They don't take a foothold into doing things for ministry within the local church, because there's a lot of things to be done in the church, depending, again, on the vision and the mission that the pastor may have. But how do we, you know, it seemed like when they come to church, we have brothers who had gusto in the world and gusto before they came to Christ, but then they seemed to bellow, stay in the background when they come into the house of God and into the faith and become part of the church. What do you say, Reverend Davis? How do we get them to move to that place?
Well, first they have to have a spiritual leader, have to have a godly leader. And see, leadership, it's like a father and a son. The son doesn't always take the advice of the father, but he uses the father's example, and he's going to duplicate what he sees the father doing. And so that's how we have to be in the church. A lot of times, a lot of people preach a lot of sermons and say a lot of things, but the people don't really get to see them action, the action of their sermon. They hear the sermon, they hear the words, they don't see the action. So a lot of men stay in the background because a lot of the women are up front. A lot of pastors don't even come to the men's ministry meetings. So a lot of churches, the spiritual father of the church is not even part of the men's ministry or the ministry to the men, because he has an overriding responsibility for the men and the women. And 9 times out of 10, the women are the one that embrace the affection and the need of the men in leadership. Where men always, because I've always seen men stay back, like you were just saying, stay back in the gap. And until they find somebody that they can respect and that they feel is really a godly man, a spiritual leader, and not somebody just giving them lip service. I know that was a mouthful, but
I agree. I was giving a dramatic pause so it could soak in, because you said some things.
Yeah.
And again, we have to, you know, even in the midst of this, first let me say this. You know, I want men to understand, and be listening to them who may not be. I know, you know, some the brothers that I have here have been ordained to leadership. I know Pastor Davis has been doing it for a while, Pastor Frederick and Deacon Purcell. But it's not that we have titles. It's that when we come into the body of Christ, we have to encourage one another in ministry, because ministry is hands-on. If we look at Scripture and we look what Jesus and the disciples did, look what they did for the 3 years with Jesus, how he trained them up. They were out.
Exactly.
They were out walking that whole Israel thing. If anybody ever been there, they was walking the desert for 3 years doing a lot of things. It wasn't meeting in a place and every week, and just that's it. And then when and then apostles, when we know the apostles went out after the resurrection, the ascension, they were called to go out and spread the gospel and fulfill the Great Commission. So there's a work to be done. And then, and like and Pastor Davis said it, I'm going to ride off of his maturity and his seasoning. That it comes, it starts at the head, and that's what he said. Something that I've noticed myself. I've been, you know, to some things and around some men's ministries, and you know, I can't. I'm not going to say I want to judge senior pastors, but men are looking for leaders, and we have it in the workplace. We have it in other places. We had it in your sports teams. You had the head coach. You had other coaches. You had position coaches. You had all these, but you had a head coach who was involved. So I look at it that way in the church. Are we doing that and putting that time in? But Deacon Purcell, I'm coming to you next. What are you saying, sir? When we talk about men serving in the local church, what's your insight?
Well, I think we have to be. Let me back up a second. What you just said was pretty profound. I want to take a portion of that and just highlight the one word. And you said what many of the disciples did, they were walking. And so I want to just take that word and just use a part of that. It's in our walk. And at the end of the day, we can – men don't want to be preached to. Men don't want to be talked to. Christ gave us a model, and he's our model and our means. He's the model by which we should live and the means by which we should get there. And I think that's how we impact the men, by modeling it through our walk. And when they can see the authenticity of who we are, that helps them to become closer. I think it's Matthew 20:28 that says, and the Son of Man did not come to be served, but rather to serve and give his life for a ransom. And that's the approach that I think we have to take as men, because we need our men, and it has to be intentional. You know, when you're on boards of organizations, you say, well, we need this member, and this member. You intentionally go after that position. And in the church, we have to be intentional and have a plan to get the men into the church and then reach them where they are. You said in the beginning that we're broken or immature at the level of where we are. Reach them where they are, get them to help and encourage them, and these men become some of the most loyal men to the church. When I was running the streets, I did the best street running I could. But now that I'm chasing Christ, I feel I'm doing pretty good at chasing Christ. I'm giving it my all because that was in me. And that's, I think, how we have to embrace the men. Deacon?
Yes, sir, I agree. And I think that I believe that we need a strategy. No matter where your ministry is and where your men's group is, you always need a strategy of how we're going to reach the men. And when we talk about that, it's the teenagers, it's the 20-year-olds, it's the 30-year-olds. I say this because I'm older now. But there's generations of men that we need to reach at different levels of where they are, and we have to be some of it is transparency, but some of it we have to demonstrate. And we have to want them and show them that we care about where they are, and we want to see them grow. Because we do. Because my thing is, we do this in the world, in other formats and platforms. That we don't let a brother come and just don't do nothing and don't have no expectation of growth. I know I understand. You know, on the spiritual side, everyone grows differently, but I think we have to on purpose reach men. Because again, if we think about it, strong men, strong family, strong church. Because the statistics that say that if you reach a man, you'll reach his family. Because his family will follow where a man goes. You know, Pastor Frederick, I'm going to come back to you. What are you saying about that importance of if we on purpose seek out men, if we on purpose going for the males in the home, males in our communities? I don't know what it really looks like, but I mean, we all do evangelism. We all can share the gospel. We encourage them to come. But I think when they come, how are we treating them? Because it's one thing I do want to, I'm going to come back to all three of you about. You know, we they're essentially getting men, because I've been, how I want to say this, I've been in a church where they gather the men together, but they gather them to do a physical work. If it's painting, hanging drywall, cutting grass, building a wall, I don't know what it is. And they call that fellowship, and that's not. That to me, can destroy a men's ministry. I'm going to start with you, Pastor Frederick. What do you say, sir?
Ooh, I'm going to say first, that's a lot. I Deacon, I agree with you. As far as the men's fellowship, not too long ago, I actually sort of experienced that, is had to take the men's fellowship away from the church building itself, for the fear of men knowing that if they were coming to the church, the fear was, well, if we come for fellowship, we end up working, and we really don't fellowship. We're really not doing any outing or things like that. And that's by the design of, you know, the needs of the house need to be done. So, you know, when the men come together being asked to do that, you had said something, seeing the opportunity for growth. When men coming in is not seeing the opportunity for men to work, but to see the opportunity for men to be developed. I believe it was Deacon Fattell said that, you know, just as Jesus discipled, piggybacking off of Deacon Farr, disciples, how Jesus did the disciples. He took them, trained them up, and then after training them, he encouraged them and sent them on their way. Being a man, father, and in a managerial role at work, you know, it's important that we learn how to, when men come to the church, allow them to see how they're going to grow. What's in it for them? How are they going to be benefited and empowered to be sustainable for not only for themselves, but for as a husband and then in any environment in which they're set into? So to answer your, hopefully I'm answering your question, is that, you know, when they come in, is, again, meeting where they are, like you said, meeting where they are, knowing where they are, and how to help them grow from that place and have them be encouraged. My last part of that would be that so many men, especially of the African-American culture, is just statistically, we don't do the best in our own home, but I believe that most of us are looking for some sign of encouragement to say, hey, you're doing good here, and I believe if you stick to this, it'll get better with time. The same thing when men come to church. If you're from the street, if you're from the hood, you don't know godly ways, that's our job in the church. Find you where you're at. Teach you one principle at a time if we have to, take you through it step by step, and then encourage you when you're doing successful and even in your hard times, reminded that you can still do it through Christ. So, Deacon, that's my response to your question.
Hello? 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 Hello?
Can you hear me, Pastor? This is Deacon Purcell.
I can hear you.
Okay, then we may be having some technical difficulties, so I'll just speak up. I think that was great. What you stated as far as being able to reach the men where they are and having an intentional way to grow them. And we've experienced that in our church under the leadership of our pastor. When we bring people in, it's our job to get to know them and understand who they are. And like you said, just how Christ did the disciples. Christ got to know the strengths and weaknesses of his disciples. And at the end of the day, that's what we're doing. We're discipling men. I think that can help us in terms of really growing men when we can embrace them where they are and recognize, okay, brother, you're struggling in this area. Let me serve you there. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He served the men where they were, which helped them love him a little more. Amen?
Amen.
Deacon Farney,
amen, amen. I'm back. I'm here. I got you. I got everybody back. Pastor Davis, hold on a minute. Pastor Davis, can you hear me, sir?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, good. I thought we lost you. All right. Pastor. Amen. This is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and we're doing this recording live. So if you're listening live online, hang with us. We have some technical problems, but we're back here live. I have Pastor Frederick from York, Pennsylvania, Pastor Lonnie Davis in Baltimore, and Deacon Derek Purcell, and we're talking about men serving in the local church, where and how they are needed. And we touched on a lot of things. Hopefully that something was said here that will encourage you, even in your local church, because first thing here at Issues Christian Men's Talk is our passion is for the local men's ministry, you know. And let me say this. If the men's ministry is one of those ministries that don't look for numbers, look for those men who need fellowship with other men. It should start there, you know, because this walk and when for men who come from, if they don't, you know, if they wasn't necessarily raised in the church, they're coming from a place where you want them to. We want them to disconnect from their previous life to come into the life of God, but then we have to come alongside and befriend them. You know, I used to tell brothers before, when the last time you when the last new friend you added to your life, into your circle? You know, we all know guys for 25, 30 years, but who do you know in the last 2 years who is in your circle now that you're in relationship, that you know who this brother is and what he goes through and his family and his wife and those things that we should be as the body of Christ. That's what we have to be out for. Those of us in the church, these are the things we have to look out for when we're talking about men's ministry and fellowshipping and connecting. Because remember, we are called to make disciples. But for men, it's a different dynamic because we all know how we were or how we are. But we have to get outside of ourselves and be led by God and by the Holy Spirit and connect one to another. We can't call ourselves a church family. I can't call you my brother in Christ, and I don't know nothing about you. I don't even know where you live. I got your phone number, but I call you my brother, but I don't even know what apartment complex you live in. Amen? I'll just throw that out there. But let me say this. Pastor Davis, I'm going to come back to you and ask you. I want to ask you about, you know, when we're talking about serving, I mean, how do we really talk to brothers and say there is a work? You don't have to. I know we talk about Scripture and knowing Scripture and living out Scripture, but you don't necessarily have to have all the Scripture in you to be used by God. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying if I'm saying it correctly, but you don't have to have all the biblical knowledge to be used by God. What do you say, sir?
Well, I agree with that because what happens is a lot of men come into the church and they stay in the background because their women or their wives know more Scripture than they do. So they're intimidated by those who know the Word because, like the one brother said, he was raised in the church. So a brother coming in off the street, never been in a church, don't know nothing about the church, he's going to be intimidated by anybody that's quoting Scriptures to him. He might not even can read. His reading ability might not even be that well. However, you give him a couple simple memory verses. I wrote down a couple points. One point I had, Deacon Farr, you used the word demonstrate. And at one point I wrote, inspiring and engaging the men. And to answer your question, we have to inspire, and we can use Christianese language and say we need to inspire through the Holy Spirit, and we could talk all that stuff, but we need to inspire the men and engage the men face-to-face, uno-to-uno, man-to-man. Sometimes you got to meet a man where he is. You got to put a man up against the wall and talk to him bluntly and directly. Because what happens is I've had so many men look at me and say, you call yourself a minister? I say, yes, because you need it rough. You need it hard. You've been smoking that pipe, and the pipe's still hot in your pocket. So that's sometimes you have to be able to speak truth to men that need it. Like if he's on crack cocaine, you need to call him a pipe-sucking crackhead and then break through that way. So pastors need to directly involve in giving his affirmation to a leader and to the team of men in the church. Men are looking for a demonstration, not an explanation.
Amen, sir. Amen. I mean, that's a lot. That's hardcore. That's hardcore outreach right there, bro. That's why I remember. That's when I met you. But you know, and I think some of that is true. Even if the band's background is not you know, not that extreme. Because even with men, because men come walk around with a certain amount of confidence, just being male in the culture, depending on where they're coming from. Because that thing may not be crack cocaine, drug addiction, alcohol. It could be womanizing. It could be lying.
Exactly.
It could be manipulating. And they need to be pulled up on that because, you know, a man, I can speak to a man a different way when I recognize something in him than what he's doing. Because that's the other thing. It's not. This is not what Christ has called you to be. And even when it comes to being a husband, you know, because myself, I was like married 15 years before I came to the church and learned how to be a Christian husband compared to the husband I was being. That's a regeneration in the mindset that needs to be changed, but that can be done biblically. But then we have to show examples. I'll say this too. I'm going to put that out there for my church folk and leaders. They have to see successful Christian marriages. They can't see the craziness in the street in the marriages in the home. I mean, in the church. I'll let that meditate right there. Because, you know, then they go, I got no hope now for my marriage because I'm looking at these marriages in here, and these people, they don't, you know. And let me say this for the body of Christ out there. Sometimes it's the simple thing. If a man comes to a church when he comes with his wife and he sees that other couples are not sitting together, during the service, they're not even sitting together. And then you know what I'm saying? These little things we have to be mindful of. Why aren't you sitting with your spouse? You're a Christian husband. Why are you not sitting with your spouse? And people recognize that you're a married couple. Because some people look, when people come as marriages, I want to come to Deacon Purcell about that. When people come to the church trying to save their marriage, you know, they need to see a marriage that are working. And I think that's one of the things we also have to demonstrate, us as men, because, again, the family. You know, so what do you think of that? And also, I'm going to come back around, but I want everybody to think about this, too, because I wanted to touch this. Talk about those Christian Sunday morning widows, those sisters that are faithful to the ministry in the church, and you don't realize for 3 or 4 years they got a husband. You ain't never seen them. But I'm going to start with Deacon Purcell about the strength of showing strong marriages. What do you say, sir?
I think that's very important to be able to do that, whether you know it or not, which you all are seasoned, so I'm quite sure you know it. People are always watching, and oftentimes they watch with a critical eye. Other times they watch because they're gleaning because they're hungry and they want something to model after. And I think it's very important when people can see you loving on your wife, or your wife loving on you, or the encouragement. That's also the foundation of the family unit. It's important for your children to see that, and it's important for that to be modeled in and out of the church. Amen?
Amen, amen. Pastor Frederick, what do you say, sir? That important of what we're talking about with marriage, and then about, you know, we know women whose husbands, for some reason, do we try to reach them, or do sometimes we don't even know they have a husband at home, and that is also a dynamic we have to deal with when we talk about men's ministry and reaching men. What do you say, sir?
Mm-hmm. I agree with Deacon Purcell. Being married 19 years and been in church the entire time I've been married, I think it's very important. I don't necessarily sit with my wife every Sunday because I sit in the pulpit and lead in ministry and things of that nature, but it's very important that at every opportunity, either I'm acknowledging her to give her honor and respect as I stand or reverence or even after service. There's different points in the service where we engage with one another. Just to reiterate the fact that we are together, right? And in the church, that is something that people are looking for and want to model after. When it comes to, you know, the women, when you say women coming and they're coming to church alone, and if they're coming alone with no children, you know, you never know that they're married. And then if you know, they're coming with children, you assume that maybe there's a relationship issue. This is another one of our statistical issues, is that a woman, the man is absent from the home. And that's a challenge. I would go back to this point, though, is when we talk about when the men come in and getting to know who the men are and knowing more about them, if we did the same thing with the women, someone would quickly identify that there's a husband that is nearby, just not present. And I know in our ministry, when there's a young lady who comes and acknowledges that they have a husband, if they're not there, then, you know, we try to make sure that someone from the men's department is either, you know, encouraging or try to see how we can help, or the women do their part. So it is a unique challenge, but definitely I would go back to say it's important that we know those that we labor among, whether they're one day or 30 years. And, if, you know, then that would help. I'm thinking that and believing that would absolutely help reduce the amount of women that come in by themselves. I'll touch the last part because this is something that I've experienced in lifetime. And sometimes the absence of the man is not that he's fearing coming to church. It could be, the scripture says, the sanctified wife makes a sanctified husband. What it doesn't say is a church-going wife that was not really sanctified keeps a husband or a man away from the church because he has nothing to look up to, even when he's looking on her Christ-likeness. So that's also a battle that I've seen where men don't come. But if they just give us one opportunity, then we've got them and we can catch the fish and then just go from there. So I know that may be a lot said, but those are things that I've, you know, to answer your question, that I've experienced and would speak on.
Amen, amen. You know, I agree, gentlemen, and I appreciate your insight, because that's what it is that we here at Issue Christian Men's Talk. We just wanted to share insight, because those who are listening, this might encourage them. It might get them to think about what they're doing in their ministry and to encourage it, because it is about reaching men and reaching them for Christ and showing them that God has created them for purpose. He saved them for purpose unto good works, and that we want to encourage them, because again, for us in the Christ, we can't sit back, because there's souls out there, there's families out there, there's men who are struggling with a lot of things, and this is also, I want to say, men that are already in your church right now, they're faithful, you see them every Sunday, but they're going through so many things, and they're living two lives, and they're struggling spiritually, because they're struggling emotionally, financially. But we don't have that time where men can come together. Now, Pastor Davis, I'm coming back to you right now, but we talked about when you said about, you know, the wife being in church and then she's more spiritual than him, that affects a brother, and that affects his growth, and that affects his on you know, how he's relating to his wife, because you don't know what she's, you know, what she's doing when she's going home and what she's saying to him. But, yeah. And that to help encourage them to know that, you know, God can do a work in you, but you also have to understand who God is and have and pursue the thing. That's the other thing. It's not an easy thing, but we have to be at a place where we're encouraging brothers and know that God, that I think what it really comes down to for me is that when we in the body of Christ, for those brothers, that we have to have that time with only men in the room. I know that might be something right now, especially the way things are going, but when it's only men in the room, where men have a time and an opportunity to connect and fellowship and be transparent about where they are with other men they trust. And I'm going to stop there, because Elder Davis, I'm going to talk to you about that. How do we, working to gain the trust of a man to the point and using I am transparent of who we are and where we have come from. What do you say?
Well, you know, I always use my testimony. So I always tell people I haven't always been a minister. So that's the first thing. You can't come up with a holier than thou all the time. Sometimes, see, society is crushing the idea of masculinity. Masculinity within the church, masculinity outside the church. Men are being attacked and are suffering because of masculinity. And so here you got more women acting more masculine than the men. And so you come into churches. So a lot of men come into a church, and they think the church is full of a bunch of weak men anyway. That's a lot of the men that I know from the street. They think it's a bunch of effeminate men in the church. So one of the things I think about is Titus 2:2-12. The older men have to teach the younger men what they need. The older men are needed by the younger men. The brother was talking about he's been married 19 years. Sometimes you can't just talk about what went good in your marriage. You got to talk about those suffering times, those trials and those temptations and the trouble that you went through in your marriage, so that the man that you're speaking to can open up. Because if he think you're perfect and you don't have the same problems or never had experienced the problems that he had, he's not going to open up to you.
Amen. Amen. And I agree. That's what it is. We have to be in, and they come through our testimony. It could come, I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it. You know, it's yep. One-on-one testimony sharing, building those relationships, or in the group setting, the transparency to let brothers know that I haven't always been who you perceive me to be. That's the other thing
exactly.
We talk about men in the church. I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of that is perception. And it comes and it raises its head a lot of different ways. You know, I remember I talked to a brother once about when he came to church, he had certain clothes on. Well, first of all, let me qualify this. The brother went to the Church of God in Christ, so he didn't have a sports jacket, a tie, or shirt, or nothing like that. So his testimony was he felt a certain way coming there, and that weighed on him a lot. So and through his testimony, a brother reached out to him. Because, you know, anybody knows Church of God in Christ, the brother reached out to him basically and gave him a couple suits that he would feel more comfortable. You know, but I got into a heated fellowship about that y'all don't realize y'all made that brother feel bad. That soul could have been lost because you're worried about what he had on. I'll just put that out there because I don't want to let that slip. But even in the midst, the brother ended up blessing him so that when he came, he felt more comfortable. And I think that's one of the things. I think that's the biggest thing we have to get. When men come into faith and come into our ministries, and we have our men's group, we have to. I can't emphasize enough to build that relationship and break down some of the barriers that we naturally come with and that we naturally deal with. Because you know how we men sit back, we watch, and we evaluate. And no matter if it's good, bad, or whatever it is, we don't usually jump right in nothing. We got to sit back, check it out, see what's going on, and see how people carry themselves. And when we're evaluating our situation, so for us as the body of Christ, we have to be, you know, authentic and be, you know, show ourselves friendly and do some things when it comes to men's ministries that's going to engage the brothers in a natural way and not a superficial way or artificial way. Pastor Frederick, what do you think, sir, about that, about the importance of that trying to be authentic in what we're doing and what we're saying when it comes to reaching men and showing them where they can serve and why they're important.
Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt, transparency is definitely needed more now, but without giving a false pretense to new coming men or even men in the ministry currently. As spoken before by Pastor Davis, is certainly 19 years has not always been a walk in the park. And just to be ironically, today we're sharing with a gentleman who's going to be a new father that, you know, he doesn't know what he's going to experience. You know, and we had a conversation, and we just talked through it. Like, what are you going to look for? What are some of those challenges? So I would do the same thing in ministry now. Because I've been in church, I've also faced that where men say, well, you know, we can't be like you because, you know, we don't know the Bible that way. We don't have wives, or, you know, our relationships were torn or severed, or we don't have relationship with our kids. And at that moment, it's my relationship haven't always been perfect. And in fact, some days are cloudy more than they are sunny. So I definitely agree that, especially with men, being a man, that is more that is something that will keep me around more than being phony, being fake, or trying to give me put on some type of facade. So transparency is definitely something that men nowadays need. And like Pastor Davis said, sometimes you got to really meet them where they are and talk their language. And some guys, that soft-spokenness work for some, and other ones just need a firm conversation, let you know that, you know, you're just like them. and that there's fault and errors. If those who hide fault and error, if we hide all that from them, then we're not really being who God has called us to be. That's
Amen.
Not really discipling them.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. Well, gentlemen, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with three of my brothers here, and we're discussing men serving in the church in this episode. This is going to be one of many more episodes that we're going to talk about this, because I think we have to get to the point where we're encouraging the brothers in faith where they are, the importance that God has a purpose and a plan. I think that's the thing I want to get across in this episode, that God has a purpose and plan for your life. And that, you know, your salvation is not just about you. It's about the next man. It's about the one that you're going to be able to reach, that he's only going to hear and see the gospel through your life and through your words and through his relationship with you. And that's what we, and those of us in the church, we have to make know that we have to build relationships to bring others into the faith and let them understand that, again, who God is. God loves them no matter who they are, what they've done, because his shed blood has paid the price for our redemption. So, and when we do men's ministry, please, at brothers, elders, deacons, all those who are listening, whatever your position in the church is, consider what would make you feel comfortable and how, what would attract you to bring and start the bond, because we have to have a relationship first. And through the relationship, the gospel is built, the seeds are planted. Because even in that, we have to be able to help them mature and grow in their faith. So we have to keep that connection. And when they stumble and fall, that they know they can repent, they can ask God for forgiveness and get up and keep going. You know, and that only comes with a relationship with us and a relationship with God. And the importance of us having accountability around us, men who's going to hold us accountable, men who pray with us and for us, and that's where it all starts. We have to remember that the church, we are the church, and we are to look out for one another. You know, and I know that the scripture is iron sharpens iron, and my brother's keeper. Those are all become cliches in some places, but that's what God has called us to be, our brother's keeper, and iron sharpens iron. So we have to start living out those scriptures and those verses and remove the cliche from them. Amen? Amen. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Gentlemen, we're going to go around, and you can your closing statements. I'm going to start with Deacon Purcell, then Pastor Frederick, and then Pastor Lonnie Davis. You're going to close us out with the last word and close us out with prayer. Gentlemen, I appreciate you for taking your time out and sharing your insights and wisdom. And I pray that the seeds will be planted on good ground out there for some brothers who are listening, and just continue in your labor and your ministries and what you're doing. And I thank you so much for giving me this hour and sharing what God has put on your heart and the passion that you have for men and serving them. Deacon Purcell, we're gonna start with you, and then Pastor Frederick, and then Pastor Davis. You're gonna close us out at the end. Amen.
Amen. I think we have to really have the mindset of Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it really speaks in depth about love, what it is and what it's not. And when we can show a man that love is patient and love is kind, it's not envying him, it's not boasting or proud, it doesn't dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, we can then engage them and embrace them where they are. And I'm in agreement. Revelations 12 talks about, and they overcame him with the power of the blood, by the power of the blood and by their power, their testimony. The testimony is real. That shows who we are. And that also shows a weakness that we have, and it's in our weakness that Christ is shown strong. When we can show a man that we rely on Christ and that's what strengthens us, it kind of tears the walls down as we engage them and usher them into who they are. Next, I'd like to say we have to pull them into their identity. Pray for who they are. Encourage them in who they are. And just as Christ called Peter out, we have to do what we can do to call these men out. Because once they know who they are, my last name is Purcell. I'm not going to write Johnson on any page because I have an identity of who I am. Once we can embrace them where they are and show them who they are, they won't do what we all did at some point and go to the left or the right. They'll stay straight in their walk with Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen, sir. Amen. Thank you very much. Pastor Frederick.
Yep. Yes, sir. Just in closing, one, thank you for the opportunity. And then, you know, just that reminder, just as Deacon Pacell, I would say copy that. In short, embracing brothers in the day and season like this, men serving in a local church, where and how they're needed. They're needed everywhere in the church to be prayer warriors, to serve, and those that are in church, you know, already in the ministry, either they're in the ministry, learning how to serve. For Christ came as a servant, not to be served, as the word tells us. And after serving the men, I'm certain that we'll gain their support in wanting to be just like we are, who is the image of Christ, just like Christ was, and to be able to be disciples. And after supporting them with where they are, they too will become leaders, not only in the local church, but in their homes, in their communities, as well as on their job, that they can then be disciples just as Christ did with the 12, that as they go out into the hedges and the byways, they too may win Christ. So I believe that those are things that if we do those things, pray, serve, support, and lead, then that we should see an increase of the men in our churches.
Amen, sir. I thank you very much, and I appreciate you again for taking your time out. Pastor Davis, you have the final word, and can you close us out in prayer, please?
Sure. You know, when I started thinking about this subject, it took me back when I first came back into the body of Christ. It was Edwin Lewis Cole had a book, and he had the Christian Men's Network, and I used to follow the Christian Men's Network and read all the books that the Christian Men's Network would suggest. And John Maxwell had a book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, and he has a John Maxwell Bible. I've given a couple men the John Maxwell New King James Bible that talks about spiritual leadership and associates scripture with leadership and being disciples of Jesus Christ. And I always tell people, you know, Jesus gave a teaching that was so hard that the Bible says some of his disciples turned away because said that teaching was too hard. They turned and walked with him no more. So I find that you can be a disciple and still be a Judas. You can turn and walk with him no more, but you got to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So the church is in great need of awakening and renewal. The local church needs godly men. And as I go into prayer, that's what my prayer is going to be, that we have spiritual fathers and that the spiritual fathers have spiritual sons that they raise up in ministry and they duplicate the body of Christ, the disciples, and Jesus Christ himself through the Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now as men, coming together in fellowship to discuss what we think and what your Holy Spirit has given each one of us with the words that we chose to speak to one another and to speak to the listening audience. Lord, if I have offended anyone with my harsh tone or the way I speak at times, Lord, I pray right now that they find it in their heart to be sympathetic and empathetic to my testimony. And Lord, as each and every one of us go our separate ways as we leave here tonight, we want your Holy Spirit to guide, guard, and govern us in our speech, in the way we talk, in the way we walk, in the way we listen. Lord, allow us to be models and examples of Jesus Christ to the body of Christ, to the young men in our congregations, to the old men that need our advice also. Lord, allow our gray hairs to speak wisdom to those who come around each and every one of us. Bless Deacon Farr and his ministry. Bless each one of those other pastors that were on this radio program. And Lord, allow your words and the love of your gospel to manifest itself in the hearts and minds of those who are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, gentlemen. Thank you again. Thank you very much for joining us. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I've been, this is Deacon Thomas Farr. You can reach out to us on our Facebook page at Issues Men's Talk. Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. We're on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. And just reach out to us if you have any men's events coming up this year. Churches opening back up all over the country, but here we're here in Baltimore, D.C. area. If you have any men's events coming up, please send them to us. Send us the link. We'll post it and encourage you that men will come together. And we continue to pray for all men, men's ministries and churches. Gentlemen, again, thank you very much, and God bless.
God bless.